Your scripture with me this morning. Two verses I want to settle on. There will be more in this message this morning that I'll reflect on. If you have your outline with you, you get to see them as well. Turn to Matthew 11, verse 30, and then we'll go to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, and we'll read these stories here in just a little bit. But let me just talk to you a little bit about godly rhythm. And so, most of you know, when I took my sabbatical, that I went through a program that Bethesda Christian Counseling offered, and Dion Winya was my counselor that I met with once a week. And I went through the Healthy Pastors Initiative program that they have. Quite a few pastors work through that. And so I'd meet with him, and he would pick out a subject area that we'd study and we'd work on, and then he'd send me home with homework that I had to do. And the very first one that I came into when I met with him in June was rhythm. He says, talk to me about the rhythm of your life. And I learned all kinds of things about who I was. And I learned so much, in fact, that I want to share that with you this morning because it impacted me in a very deep way. And it will change my ministry as I move forward as well. It will be different in a good way for me. And I want to share that good news with you this morning. Next week, we'll get back to the book of Revelation, and we'll continue on. But I wanted to share one thing with you this morning, and I hope that you can learn and grow from it. Some of you already might have good rhythm, which you're going to discover, and some of you might have some bad rhythm. And maybe you have some of both in your life, and you need to figure it out. And so I hope to be able to teach that to you this morning from the Word of God. So let's dig in. Go with me to Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. It's a very short verse, but here it is. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus speaks these words to his people. Right now, just hold that verse in your mind as we go through this morning, because that's going to be the underlying verse that Jesus says, this is how I want you to live life. This is what I want it to look like if you're going to be a follower of me. Now, let me ask you a question. We're not even to the message yet. How many of you desire that in your life? I do. That's what I want. What does Jesus say when his yoke is light? It's easy. Because sometimes life is very, very hard. Now let's flip to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, a very familiar story of Mary and her sister. Let me get this put away. Martha. Now remember, these are friends of Jesus. Jesus goes to visit, and he stayed at this house quite often. Now Mary and Martha, and of course you know they have a brother Lazarus that's in here as well, but the story here is, as we read it, there are younger people, maybe high school age, early 20s, maybe somewhere in there. They're younger people, and Jesus loved to be with them and hang out with them. And so he gets to their house, and this is how the conversation goes. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried about and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word and hear from your scripture, may you bring that word to life. Lord, may that word be applied to how we live. Lord, may your spirit speak through me today, and may that same spirit fill those that have gathered here in your house, Lord. May you open their ears, their minds, their souls to your teaching. In Jesus I pray, amen.
Hey, get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm.
When any Johnny Cash fans in here this morning?
Get a rock and roll feeling in your
bones. Now there's a few of you. All right. Do you know the song? Get rhythm.
Get the blues.
Right?
A little shoeshine boy, he never gets
slowed down.
Turn
it up just a little bit, Janice.
He's got the dirtiest job in town, bending low at the people's feet on a windy corner of a dirty street. Will I ask him while he shined my shoes how to keep from getting the blues? He grinned as he raised his little head. He popped his shoeshine rag and then he said, get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm. When you get the blues, a jump.
Now, we could listen to that whole entire song, but let me ask you this question this morning as we start that. You guys know Johnny Cash. Many of you probably have heard the song before, but have you ever thought about the word rhythm and how it affects your life? Now, here's another question for you this morning, and I asked you this earlier. How many of you have the desire to live as Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light? And most of you said, yeah, that's how I want to live this life, but sometimes it is hard. And you see, the two go together, and that's what I learned. Rhythm is so important to how you and I live our lives, and it affects the joy that we have from day to day. Our joy with Christ, our joy with others, our joy when we live this life together. So this morning I want to talk with you about a very powerful experience that I had on my sabbatical. The importance of godly rhythm in your life and my life. And before my sabbatical, I need to be honest with you this morning, I was tired. I was wore out. I really didn't want to see people anymore. Because all I seen was the negative side of things, the hard things of people's lives, the messiness. And I was stuck in the midst of all that, thinking, wow, this ministry thing, it sucks. This is not what I want to do for the rest of my life. I didn't have joy. I wasn't enjoying my life the way that God intended me to have joy in my life. And maybe that is where you're at today, especially in these times of COVID. Things are so different in our lives because of that as well this morning. But beyond that, I want you to ask yourself another question. Do you ever feel the demands of life are always coming at you? Look at this picture on the screen this morning. Have you ever felt like that donkey? You're trying to work as hard as you can. You can't get anywhere, and life just keeps coming at you. Our jobs push on us. Our families push on us. Our culture pushes on us. And we live in a 24/7 culture with a very unhealthy rhythm in the world that you and I live in. And if you let it, the world's rhythm will run you right into the ground. That's what will happen to you. So when I talk about rhythm, I'm talking about being intentional with your life and how and where you spend your time. That's what I'm talking about here this morning. Each one of us has a rhythm of some kind. So now you needed to figure out, is it a healthy rhythm? Is it a godly rhythm? Is it a poor rhythm? Do I need to look at life differently and where I spend my time and what I'm doing and what I'm involved in? Is it a healthy, godly rhythm? Most of us love to work hard. And there's nothing wrong with working hard. God says, we need to do that. Make a living for yourself. Earn food for yourself, and so on. Let me bring an illustration to you this morning. Now, most of you know that I have a farm background, and most of you here are tied to the farm, and so I'm going to bring you a farm illustration, but this illustration is not meant to beat up a farmer or the way we farm today. That's not my point. My point is to look at the lifestyle that was and where we're at today. Let me share that with you this morning. When I was a boy in the 70s, My grandparents farmed, and my dad was in construction and did a little bit of farming. But let me ask you some general questions. What did that day look like? When you got up in the morning, let's just pick a time. We're in silage season right now, right? And so guys are chopping silage, and families got together, and they chopped silage together. And so you had breakfast in the morning sometime, and they did chores. And then at 9:30, you did what? Lunch or coffee time, right? Depending what where you're from and how you say it. But when I grew up, it was always coffee time at 9:30. And then at noon, you did what? Yeah, it was dinner time and it was lunch. And then at 3 o'clock, you did what? It was coffee time again or lunch time again. And then maybe you finished up and then at night you had what? Supper. How many times did you gather during the day? Breakfast, coffee, lunch, what? Get coffee again, supper. 5 times intentionally. And you gathered with family, right? If you're in the field, you shut down. And you took 15 minutes on the tailgate of the pickup, and everybody came out to the field. You know, grandma was out there, and my mom would be there, and parents, whatever, and they'd stop, and they'd have lunch together. And some of you might still do this today, and I'm going to say this to you. Good for you. Because you prayed before your meals. You gathered as a family, and you talked about life. What's going on that's hard? What do we need to get done? You understood where everybody was at. That was the 60s and 70s, and maybe even the start of the 80s. And then we heard this new word called, and I can remember being in school and ag classes, you got to be more efficient. You got to produce more in your life if you're going to make it work. And the tide started to turn in our culture, and then we moved to what? Look at the bottom picture. We had to start doing, I remember in FFA class, Mr. DeFreeze. How many of you had Mr. DeFreeze in FFA? Right here, yeah. She started talking, you guys need to learn to start unloading on the go at harvest time. You're going to get more done in a day's time. Don't stop for lunch anymore, you got to keep moving. There's corn to dry, there's work to get done, you got to be more efficient. And then you know what we started to do? Pack your own lunch. Leave the house in the morning, don't come back till night. So here's the point. What kind of rhythm did you start with in the 60s and 70s? That's a good rhythm. Now, this goes across businesses, industry, everything was driven this way. So I'm giving you a farm illustration this morning, but it affected our whole entire country from the farm industry to the business sector and so on. We had to become more efficient. And our economy drives us in that direction. It's profitability and it's management and whatever it might be. And what I'm trying to tell you is that's the rhythm of culture that you and I live in. And sometimes that rhythm gets to be unhealthy. Because you know what? My grandpa, no matter how busy it was, 9:30 was coffee time. We stopped. 12 o'clock was lunch. We stopped our dinner. 3 o'clock, again, we stopped. See, to them, rhythm was so very important. Somehow they understood the value of that, and I don't know how, but you can look. Some of you are way older than I am, and some of you are way younger, so that means I'm middle-aged apparently, right? But the point is you know what I'm talking about, especially the older generation of gathering and working with neighbors and family and stuff like that. Those were healthy rhythms for you and I. And then we moved into what we have today. Not so healthy. Not so godly in some ways. And I'm talking about rhythm. Now, if you want to unload on the go and you're harvesting, go for it. That's not a bad thing. But the question is what about your rhythm in what you do? What does that look like in your life? And so the world will push you into unhealthy rhythms. Your job is to be intentional about staying in a healthy rhythm in whatever you do. You're going to have to be intentional because the world will not. It'll suck you into the bad things, the hard things, and it'll burn you out. And so a lot of you're sitting there, you're having conversations, you're bumping, yeah, that's what we need to do, right? Yeah, go home and have a conversation about those things and how you live life. But let me share something with you also that Jesus did. Jesus didn't do it all. Did you know that when Jesus was alive in his ministry, it involved about a 200-mile radius around Jerusalem? He didn't travel to Europe. He didn't travel to the Americas. He didn't even heal everyone. And yet, the Father said to him, he said to the Father, I have done your will. He did what God called him to do. So I believe that we are more active than God calls us to be as Christians. Jesus didn't do it all. Neither do we in our lives. And I believe that most of us today, not all of us, some of you have healthy, godly rhythm and you're doing the right thing. You've got it figured out. But some of us don't. But I think a lot of us live like the story in Luke 10, like Martha. We're worried about what do we need to get done? What work do we have to do to accomplish whatever our goals are? And that becomes more important than our relationship with God and people. And at that point, you've lost sight of why God put you on this earth in your life. And here's the problem, I think. And rock-solid Christians fall into this same trap, me included. And this has happened to me in ministry here the last year or so, that I was more worried about the work than I was about the relationships of what I had to accomplish or what I needed to do. And here's what I think became the issue. The problem is that you and I don't fully trust God to take care of us, so we want to control our outcomes, and we want to run the world that we live in. Because we're not quite sure how this story's going to end, that I might be involved in, whatever it might be. Now, some of you in here, there's some things that are going on in your families health-wise that the church is aware of and stuff, and we don't know how those things are going to end. But I do know one thing. God still sits on the throne in heaven, and he's under control. You don't have to worry about those things. They might bother you, and they might bring you the emotion out of you, but you need to know, just like the song says, Jesus is above all names. He's above cancer. He's above disease. He's above all those types of things. A brain tumor. Now, I don't know how those stories will end, but Jesus does. And he calls you and I to have faith. In the midst of everything, even this pandemic, he says, you just need to trust me. Don't worry about what the future holds. You just need to stay connected to me. And for us to stay connected, we have to have good rhythm in our lives that we have time to put in to God. That God has time to put into us. He wants to put into you. He wants you to grow. He wants to bring you that joy and that rest and that easy yoke that you're supposed to carry. That's what he desires for you. And that's how you get it. A healthy, godly ribbon. We are called to be like Mary. Once in a while, you just got to sit at Jesus' feet and be quiet. And pray, and listen, and be still in our lives. I don't have to tell you what an unhealthy rhythm looks like. Most of you can figure that out, and maybe you're living that this morning. So the question that I want to bring to you this morning is, what does a healthy, godly rhythm look like in my life? And so we turn to Scripture for that. And here's going to come something. If you got your outline with you, you can follow along this morning. But I'm going to talk to you about different rhythms that are in Scripture. And I'm just giving you a few. And if you would do a deep study on rhythm in the Scripture, the Bible's full of them on how God used rhythm in our lives. How many of you enjoyed your kids going back to school and getting into a routine of some kind again? Anybody enjoy that? Just a couple of you? All right. So here's the point. You've established a rhythm again. See, rhythm feels good, doesn't it? God created us to live in rhythm. with him and with the world that we live in. And so here is where we're going to start. What does that godly rhythm look like? And so let me talk to you first about a daily rhythm. Luke chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, meaning that places where he could be by himself, and he prayed. He connected with the Father in heaven. He did that often in his ministry here on earth, and that's a rhythm that you and I need to have. And I think a lot of us today, Christians, struggle with that, of stopping daily to spend time with God, to read some scripture, to pray, to connect at a deep level with God every day in our lives. That's daily rhythm. That's what it should look like. Let's talk about weekly rhythm in our lives. In Genesis, God created in how many days? Six, and he did what? He rested on the seventh. So what that means is that every 7 days, you should take a Sabbath break. Don't do any work. Spend time with God. Be in worship. Don't fall into the normal routine from day one to day six. Stay out of that. Take a day off and get away from what you're doing. In fact, let me just share something with you that I learned this morning. There was a study regarding rhythms of rest and work done by two professors at Harvard Business School. They looked at this, and they realized that people who took time off for Sabbath, that they're actually benefited from their work, and they're more productive than those that didn't. There's a reason why God gave us Sabbath. Not only to worship, but he knew that in our week we needed rest, and we'd be more efficient and better workers by taking that day off. So I encourage you, look at your weekly rhythms. And then I want to talk to you about yearly rhythm. Leviticus 23 spoke of every 7 years as a period of rest. And the 49th year, there was to be a year of Jubilee. We've never practiced a year of Jubilee in our nation or in our world since Jesus returned to heaven. It has never happened. Old Testament, it was talked about, never happened. The year of Jubilee. Someday we will have a life of Jubilee with Christ in heaven. But here's the point about yearly rhythms. How many of you take a family vacation or an outing somewhere with your, you spend time away from home or camping or traveling or you do something? Do any of you do that? How many of you, let me ask you this then if you don't want to raise your hand. How many of you like to take time off work? Go fishing or whatever. Just a couple of you? Well, this is going to have to be a series, I guess. Yeah. The point of yearly rhythm is that you break cycles and you do things that are way out of the ordinary, good things with your family. You spend time with God, whatever that might be, because God wants you to have healthy patterns in your life. And I know that most of you go places and you do things for weekends or for a week, or you travel south in the winter, or you take your family on vacation, whatever it might be, but you break the routine of everyday life. And hopefully in the midst of those things, you are finding time to worship God, to reconnect with your family and friends, or whatever it might be, because that's what God wants us to do. Rhythm in your life. Now, this past summer, you know, and in the midst of all these things that I'm going through and learning about this, and Dory and I, we went different places. We were in Montana for 8 days up by Kalispell, and we worshiped in a church there and had a great experience there. Met with Dory's niece. She's on the worship team. One of the songs we sang coming in here is one that they sang to us, and it was great to worship. We worshiped in South Dakota. We worshiped on a football field in Colorado. It was great to worship in the midst of wherever we were to connect with God. I encourage you to look at the rhythm that you have in your lives. Now, all of these scriptures answer the question of Matthew 11, verse 30, right? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you can find healthy rhythm, you're going to find that Matthew 11, verse 30 becomes true in your life. That's what I'm trying to get at today. I found that in my sabbatical. There's times that I need to say no to things. Nope, I can't do this because I want to stay in this kind of a rhythm in my life, because the world will try to push you out of it. It's no different for me as a pastor. It's no different for you, whatever you do in your life. You have to be intentional about your rhythm. Do things in your life that bring you delight. Balance work with family time. Time with God. Do hobbies that you enjoy doing. Here is a very important point that I want to make with you today. If you don't take anything else home with you, take this home with you today. In the midst of this rhythm, in the midst of everything that is going on, whatever you find yourself, whether good or bad or healthy or unhealthy or whatever it might be, here's what I learned. God is always at work. There might be times that you don't see Him, you don't feel Him, you don't think He could be working in this situation, because it is not a good situation from our perspective. But I want you to know and have confidence in the midst of those things, God is always at work. Because you are a child of God. God is at work in the roughest places of life. God is at work in the hardest places of life. God is always at work. Realize that this morning. May you, and this for me was big when Dion said, you need to realize in the hard things of ministry, God is at work. And you know those hard things that I've been involved in the last 2 years. And I say, how can God be at work in some of those situations? And Dion said, Rob, trust God. God is always at work. And He knows what's best for you and I. Trust God. And that's freeing, because you and I don't have to do it all. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to try to earn it. That's why Jesus came. Let the burdens go. Those hard things that you're harboring inside you that are maybe weighing you down, let them go. Give those all to God. That's why Jesus came. And if you're trying to hold on to some of that yet, that means that you need to work on a little bit of trust. Pray about that. Pray for God to give you peace about those situations and give those to God. You and I are the Father's children. Realize that. The Father wants what's best for His children. Let me challenge you with a few questions here this morning. This is your homework for the week about your life and what's going on. What is my current life rhythm today? Look at that. You need to write it out and look at it. Do that. But pray about that this week. What does that look like? And then what new rhythms might Jesus be inviting you into? How should I change my life that I live a healthier life like Matthew 11, verse 30 wants me to live? It's your job this week. Reestablish some healthy, godly rhythm in your life. It was a blessing for me. May it be a great blessing for you as well. And as Johnny Cash says, get rhythm. You and I need to get godly rhythm in our lives, because that's what He calls us to. He wants us to live in rhythm with Him. And life will be way better. And all of God's people said,